Today we live in a world where almost every person has a smartphone. And every time you download an app on your smartphone, you get a notification on your smartphone. And it says to you whether you want to allow notifications or not. Well, if you pick yes every single time you download an app, you will be on your phone constantly. Because every single time, whether it be for those who like sports, ESPN, or even a WhatsApp, it always comes up on your phone as a notification, and you will live doing this your whole life. Because you will hear, you'll feel a beep. Or if it's social media. You see, every day God receives more messages and notifications in the form of prayers than anyone actually on the planet. Some may wonder if He actually responds to them all. After all, with our apps, we can see if our friends read our messages. But we don't know if we don't see a message read from God. But we do know that He hears our prayers. Neither does prayer offer the same instant gratification as we can see if someone reads it. But we have to wait for the Lord to answer our prayers. The fact is, the average American checks his or her phone 110 times per day. People who are more addicted to their phones actually check their phone about 900 times per day. That's one every waking minute. And as you go around, you can see that. We live in a society where everyone is checking their phone because all you hear is beep constantly. And we don't want to miss any news, so we have to hurry up and look at our phone. You see, when Nehemiah received bad news, his first reaction was to pray. He knew that prayer was more than just simply sending messages to God, but it was a spiritual discipline that brings us into communion with our Father. When we focus on God, expressing our dependence on Him, God provides the wisdom and power we need to live well. I want to ask you, how many times have you heard the statement said, "All I know to do is pray"? What they usually mean is, "I've tried everything else, and now I'm going to turn to God in prayer." It does not speak well of our priorities. Prayer should not be our last resort, but it should be our very first resort. The first step as we think of any problem that we face, whether it be big or small. You know, I think sometimes we think that when we go to prayer, we can only go to God with the big problems. But God wants to hear from us constantly, even the small problems. I'll give you an example. This week, I went to visit someone in the hospital. And if you've ever been to PMH to visit someone, you know there's certain hours from 12 to 1 or from 6 to 8. And if you know, if you've ever been there, it's very hard to find a parking spot. Well, I had driven around for about 5 minutes, getting frustrated, trying to find where can I find a parking spot. But I forgot to do one thing. I forgot to pray. So I said, you know what, I'm going to pray to God, even to ask Him for a parking spot. And would you believe in me going around the block and coming back, a parking spot open? And I said, thank you, God. Because you know what, even in the small things, He wants to hear from us. And He answers our prayers, and He is there for us. But I think sometimes we think that we cannot go to Him for everything. You see, Nehemiah had his priorities right. When he heard the bad news from his homeland, the very first thing he did was carry it to the Lord in prayer. You see, serve a big God, and no problem is too big for Him to handle. Do we really believe that? As we look at God's Word, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. But to give you a little background of what's happening in Nehemiah, beginning around 537 BC, many Jews who had been exiled to Babylon were allowed to return to Jerusalem to restore what had been destroyed. Their plan was to rebuild the temple and the city. They eventually finished the temple, but for decades, the absence of walls and gates left Jerusalem not only defenses, but also the object of ridicule. Around 445 BC, when Nehemiah heard about the conditions in Jerusalem, he was greatly distressed and desired to change the situation. This morning, we want to look at three basic points. And the first point is a sorrowful conditions. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 says this. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, "Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who has survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. You see, the whole city was a mess. There was no walls. There was no protection. There was no way of stopping people from coming in and doing whatever they wanted to do. Jerusalem remained vulnerable to the outsiders. Again, its enemies could attack them at any time. But what we find out with Nehemiah was not a person just to, what we like to say, jump the gun. What he did was he wanted to hear the report. He wanted to hear from them what is going on. And we see in verse 2, as we read, it says that Hananiah, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, concerning Jerusalem. You see, he listened carefully. Nehemiah listened as his brothers shared the news. Again, we are tempted to jump and just try to react and do what we can do without truly listening to everything. You see, awareness is the first critical step in pouring out our hearts to God in prayer. But simply being aware of needs is not enough. Once we are well informed, we need to get busy in praying. You see, people can come to us and they can say, I have this problem. It's good for us to hear, but the reality is that we need to hear from them and we need to pray for them. You see, a lot of times you like to say, I will pray for you. But how many of us really spend time in prayer to pray for that person? You see, Nehemiah recognized that he could do nothing in a situation except to turn to God in prayer. Sometimes we find ourselves in similar situations as we have tried everything else to rectify the problem except to go to the one who controls everything in prayer. What are some of the problems that we think are too big sometimes? Well, they could be sickness. We look at our sickness and sometimes think, well, why would God allow this to me? Why would God allow me to go through this sickness? We can look at the death of a loved one or a special friend. You see, death is not easy at all when somebody's passed away. We may think that how are we going to live without that person? The truth of the matter is, even though it is hard, we have a God that knows everything and who is in control of everything and who is there for us. No matter who we have lost, He is there for us. Because He promises His word He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's always there with us. Another thing might be a financial situation. We may be in a problem where we don't know how we're going to pay our bills. How are we going to, you know, be able to, you know, pay the new light bill, whatever it may be. The reality is that we have a God who says He will provide, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And we need to go to God in prayer and ask Him, hey God, how can you help me? How can you provide? He doesn't say He's going to provide for all our wants, but He provides for our needs. And I think sometimes we get our priorities mixed up because we think that, you know, God wants us to have that 50-inch TV, but then we can't pay our bills. But He wants us to provide for our bills. You see, we often get stuck looking at our circumstances and the problems that we have rather than looking to the one that already knows all of our problems and already has our best interests. You see, people often say, God will never put more on us that we can handle. But one pastor says something like this, if God never gave us more than we can handle, we wouldn't need God. You see, God gives us more than we can handle, but He never gives us more than He can handle. And I think too many times we again look at our circumstance, and we look at the problems that we are going through, and we see how big they are to us. But to God, they're very small. Because He is there with us. He's walking with us through these different problems. You see, what a great reminder, because so many times, again, as we go through different situations, we wonder, how are we going to get through this problem? The same thing with Nehemiah. How are we going to rebuild the walls? How are we going to fix this problem? Because right now, anybody can come in and they can do whatever they want to us. So Nehemiah was very careful to hear what the problem was. The second point is this: a sincere confession. As we think of verses 4 to 7. And it says this, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. You see, Nehemiah, when he heard the report, the first thing he did was stop and pray. And it doesn't say that he said one prayer, but he prayed for days. He fasted for days. I think sometimes we expect God to answer our problems right away. Go to Him once and He's going to solve it right then. But we need to be in constant prayer to God. Because He's always there. He's attentive. He's hearing our prayers. You see, Nehemiah was so grieved by the news of Jerusalem that he wept. He fasted. And he prayed. You see, when I consider this and I look at Nehemiah's life, I have to ask myself, what do I do when I see problems? What do I see when I look around our country at things that are going on? Do I just complain? Or do I stop and pray for our country? Do I stop and pray for those who are in charge? Do I stop and pray for just that our country would turn to God? But you see, a lot of us, including myself, we like to blame everyone else. And we don't like to say anything. We like to talk among ourselves. But we need to talk to God, the one who's in control, the one that sees and knows everything. Not just we think we can come on the side and solve the problems. No, we need to go to God because He can solve every problem. You see, one thing we notice about Nehemiah too is that prayer is all about God, not us. Nehemiah began his prayer in the same way Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew. He's looking to the Father in heaven. You see, Nehemiah's prayer was focused on the character of God, His name, His kingdom, and His will. You see, prayer is not trying to get God to do what we want. But prayer is seeking God's will on this earth. Again, as he continues his prayer and he goes from talking and looking at the character of God and seeing who He is, the first response is confession. You see, confession realigns our priorities. Rather than point the fingers about what others have done wrong, he recognized that both I and my father's family have done wrong. You see, what we like to do so many times today is we like to point the fingers at everyone else. We like to look at other people and compare ourselves to other people and say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. You know, I'm not as bad as that person. But you see, that's when our priorities as we look at God is wrong. Because when we look at the character of God, we see a perfect God, and we see where we are trying to get to, that we need not to look at someone else beside us and think, I'm better than that person. No, no, we should strive to be more like God. And we can never reach that standard. So we can never get comfortable and say, well, I got it together. I'm better than that person. You see, Nehemiah recognized this. And he said, my father's house and I have sinned against you. We have sinned. We've all sinned. You see, Nehemiah understood that for Jerusalem to be restored as a city, the heart of the people must be restored. And I think that, again, as I think about our country, I think that when we consider the Bahamas, we know that we are considered a Christian nation. We were built on Christian foundation. But I ask you this question. Are we living that? Are we praying to God when we have problems? Are we going to God in prayer? Us as Christians, the church, are we doing that? Are we talking to God about the problems that we have? Or are we just criticizing and doing what we can? And let me just say this, because whenever I speak, I like to first of all say, I'm not talking just to you, I'm talking to myself. Because I'm the first person who would be easy to criticize things that go on. And so when we consider this, we need to ask each one of us, what do we do? Do we pray to God for our country, for our leaders, as Nehemiah is trying to pray for Jerusalem? You see, Nehemiah never points the finger, but he says, "We have sinned against you." You see, we know God's word, but how many of us spend consistent time studying God's word? We live in a world that is corrupt and is only getting worse. And we need to individually and corporately, first of all, cry out to God because of our own sin. And then we need to cry out for the sin of our country. We have truly turned to our own ways and not God's. And I think that sometimes in our culture and the way we look at it, we sometimes complicate prayer. We make prayer this thing that we have to have special words to come before God. That if we don't use these big theological words, then God's not going to hear our prayers. But you see, Nehemiah was a person who cried out to God. He didn't use no special words. He recognized the character of God. He confessed his sin. But he just cried out to God, "God, we need you. We need you to help us here in Jerusalem." I think of David. As he confessed his sin to God, he cried out to God, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." When's the last time that we or you have cried out to God in prayer? Individually. In your home. And just talk to God and say, "God, this is what I'm going through. I need you to help me." You see, because we try to hide behind those big words. We try to make it think that God doesn't see right through our hearts and He knows what's going on in our lives. He sees right through all those words because He sees the type of person that we truly are. He sees the depths of our hearts. He sees how wicked we truly are. But yet He loves us and He wants to hear from us. And He wants us to be a part. And He wants us to be, as we are in a relationship with Him, He wants us to be a part of the church, the church that helps those in need. You see, people constantly check their phones for text messages and social media notifications. You likely have at least one person that you communicate with constantly. Why not do the same with God? Why not be constant communication with God? The Bible said that we need to be praying without ceasing. We need to be talking with Him all the time. It's not just something that we do on Sundays or when it's a prayer meeting, but we as individuals have to be praying in our homes constantly. Praying when we come together as a church. You see, when we live in continual prayer, we're demonstrating our dependence on God. And we recognize our need for Him. We recognize that I can't do this on my own. I need you, God. I need you to step in. I need you to help me. And Nehemiah recognized this. He recognized that, you know what? I can't do this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to cry out to you, God. Because I need you. As we think of our last point, the solid confidence. Nehemiah 1:8-11 says, "Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delighted to fear your name, and give successes to your servant today, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Now I was a cupbearer of the king." You see, Nehemiah then returned his prayer back to the word of God. Some people believe that this was from Deuteronomy chapter 30 verses 1 to 10 when God warned the Israelites that if they turned from Him, He would punish them. But He also told them that He would restore them if they repented of their sins. You see, Nehemiah knew that because of Israel's sin, they deserved judgment. But Israel's disobedience didn't necessarily spell the end of their relationship with God. You see, we ourselves need to go to God in prayer and confess our sins daily. The Bible is very clear. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to come to Him. And that's what, as we consider prayer, we consider when we see God's character, we confess our sin because we see how desperately wicked we truly are. You see, because God is merciful and forgiving, God promised to bless His people and restore their relationship with Him if they were to return to Him. Nehemiah confessed and expressed his repentance. Now it was time for him not only to live in obedience, but to lead his people in pursuing God. Nehemiah asked God to bless those who delight to revere God's name, those who live in obedience and worship. You see, when we consider the word repentance, it means to change or turn around, that we turn from our wicked ways, that we change. We turn from the ways of the world, now we turn to God. And this is what Nehemiah is praying for. We repent of our sins. We turn from that wicked ways. It's one thing to be grieved about the effects of sin. It's another to confess our own responsibility. However, these are valuable only when they lead us to change as we turn to God and live in obedience. In his prayer, Nehemiah reminded God of his promises. God has said that if his people were unfaithful, he would scatter them. But if they return and live in obedience, though they had been exiled, God would gather them up. These promises were undeserved, and God's blessing was available to them, anyone who would live in obedience to him. You see, we don't deserve the grace of God because we mess up every single day. But yet we serve a God that is so gracious to us that we can call on Him at any time and we can confess our sins because He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Again, as I talked about, God's standard is our standard of obedience. Not the people around us, but God is our standard. His Word is our standard. We need not to look around and try to find something else to be the standard, but this is our standard. This is what we're striving to be like. We're trying to strive to be people that follow God's Word. You see, He came to this earth. Jesus came to this earth. He lived the perfect life and died on the cross. He took the punishment of our sins because we were disobedient. And when we trust in God's plan, we receive the blessing of obedience. But God requires us to confess our sins to Him. You know, when I consider and I look at Nehemiah, I have to challenge myself and ask myself, what do I do when I see a problem? Do I just allow the problem to eat me up and don't do anything about it? Or do I cry out to God and say, God, can you help me? And I would challenge us as we apply this to our lives. Let's first of all be honest with God. Let's go to God in prayer and let's be honest with Him. Let's tell God how, because He knows how wicked we are. He knows the sin in our lives. Let's confess our sin to Him. Secondly, let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for this country. Our country needs prayer. And we as Christians, we need to pray and cry out for our country. Because that is our duty. We can't expect it from the world. But we need to cry out as Christians for our country. And the last thing is, let the change start with me. Let me not look at other people in the pew. Let it start with me. Let it be me who I'm ready to pray to God. I'm ready to cry out to Him. And let me bring others along after I've done it. And let me not just say, I'm praying for you and don't do it. But let me pray for the people around me. You know, it was great to hear the story this morning. I don't know all the details, but to hear that the church came together and prayed for Tao. I think Tao, it was so important. It was so great to hear that story of how the church prayed for her and how God delivered her. That's the type of God that we serve, who wants to hear from us. And what an example. I mean, it's just amazing how God works, that something like that happened. And here it is, we're talking about prayer. What a great God we serve. Because that's the only way that that could be designed, is by Him. Because He's in full control. Let's pray.